Yes, Lord. We pray for those, Lord. We pray for Arlene Johnson, Lord. We know her need, oh God. We pray for her and her family. God, we pray for your will, Lord. Minister, oh God, unto her. Help her, Lord. Amen, Jesus. We pray, God, for grace and for mercy and for salvation. Lord, that you would do a work, oh God. Amen. Minister unto them, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen, Father. We pray for Sister Walker, Lord. We pray for our wife, Lord, Sister Betty. You know their needs, oh God, and we pray that you would minister unto them, Lord. We believe and we stand upon your word, oh God. Amen, Lord, that by your stripes you are healed.
Give them a touch, oh Lord.
We ask that you would touch them. Amen. Those, God, who are touching their bodies. Those who are afflicted, Lord. Those who are infirm.
Jesus, name, Lord. Touch every heart, every mind, every soul in this place. In Jesus' name, Lord. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, oh, quicken us, oh Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, oh, quicken us, oh Lord. Yes, Lord. Quicken us in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let it be done, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Good.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, yeah. Sunday school classes can be dismissed to your respective classrooms, and all of you that are to remain here, remain here. Amen, amen, amen. Appreciate the Lord.
Yes.
His goodness, His mercy, His grace. His loving kindness,
yes.
Faithfulness, amen. His compassions, as yes. The Bible says, that are new every morning.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Where would we be without that, yes. Praise God. But I thank you for all that, amen, He is, and amen to us. And hallelujah. This great salvation.
Amen.
There's nothing like it. Nothing can be compared to it.
Exactly.
Nothing in this world. Keep saying that, and that's the truth.
Yep.
Nothing in this world can compare to what you and I have received.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so thankful. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll just put it out there to you this morning that my conviction is a godly conviction.
Amen.
And because of that, and it's not based upon anything that I have conjured up in my mind is based upon the Word of God. So I have godly convictions. And my mind is obviously affected by what I understand, that I know, that I've read in the Word of God, and of course, my relationship with Him. And because of that, He has even ministered to me and different levels of faith and understanding, and it's beautiful to be able to know the Lord like we know Him.
Amen.
And of course, what He's given us and through His Spirit. So it's something. So I guess because of that, because of what He's done, what I feel in my spirit, and I hope you feel the same thing in your spirit, because we all have the same Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Yes.
We've all been baptized with the same Spirit. There's, like you said, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one Spirit, all this.
Amen.
So our experience should be basically on that part. It should be the same experience as far as our convictions are concerned. Because we receive that understanding from the Word of God, so it should be the same. Yeah. That's what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 1:10 when he's talking about he said that we're to be all in the same mind, same judgment. We're to all this to speak the same thing. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It brings us together so we can abide in that place where we can have that unity in the Spirit, in God's Word, that understanding. And so I guess because of that, I would probably call myself old-fashioned. a lot of young people like to always term that, you know, when we talk about, of course, people that are up in age and the elderly and stuff, and we have certain values, certain priorities, and maybe even certain opinions. They say, oh, you're old-fashioned. I would rather be old-fashioned, yep, than anything.
Yeah. Amen.
Is the world, you know, exactly. The world, how many times has it changed its opinion?
Yep.
How many times has it changed their lifestyles, their trends, all this? Just, they can never settle on anything. Here's the thing, they can never settle on anything that is solid.
Yeah, that's right.
Anything that is stable.
Right.
They can never settle, and that's the problem. That's why everybody's running around like loose cannons.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's why they have no stability.
Amen.
That's why you're just,
help us, Lord.
Amen, as fickle. Amen, in your mind and in your spirit, because you don't know what you believe or what you want to believe,
yes,
and you don't know what you want to be or who you want to be.
Yes.
But I'm glad we have the Word.
Yes.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
That gives us some insight and direction. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, if I didn't give you a chapter, verse number 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness. Pay attention. Because this is the whole process of salvation.
Yes.
This is the whole process for you and I when we started out, when we were filled with the Holy Ghost, and God began to do a work in us as far as, you know, what we understand being born again. And Paul refers to that as like he said, he refers to that as walking in newness of life. So we walk in the newness of life. So when we think about it, our experience in the Holy Ghost will lead us to that place where we will experience newness of life every day. And there's a song that's you know, played on the Christian radio, and it says every day should be day one.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what that means?
Should be like the same day.
Every day should be like day one. How many of you remember what it was like when you came to the Lord?
Yeah.
Amen.
That overwhelming feeling of love and woo, best thing that ever happened to us.
Amen.
And so everyone should be, every day should be like that day, that experience of just knowing what it was just to be loved and saved and delivered.
Yep.
And so because of that, from that time forward, our experience as we walk with God, we begin to walk, and as we walk, we begin to acquire knowledge. And because of that, because of what we have come to and understand, we begin to experience. And it's a process. And as you go on in this process, you begin to progress.
That's right.
You begin to grow in the things of God, in His Word. A lot of people, even in the Christian, so-called Christian world, have no clue or idea what it is to be truly a born-again Christian.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
They lack that knowledge and understanding.
Yep. Amen.
And you think about it, There's a couple of passages of scripture that I want to allude to. If you want to go with me to the book of Titus. And, amen. Look what it says here. Book of Titus chapter, let me find it here. Amen. Chapter 3. Where he speaks here and he says, chapter 2, excuse me. It says in verse number 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Now look what he says. "Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to us." Now look what he says. "Teaching us." Teaching us. So this salvation that we have come to, if we continue to go on and follow the Lord, it's going to teach us. We're going to be taught. We're going to come to understanding. We're going to come to revelation. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So now, when he's saying that we should live soberly, you know what? We're not going to be influenced or intoxicated with anything else but God.
Amen.
His word. So that's what that means. Because we're all influenced by something. We come under the influence, and because we come under the influence, we're intoxicated with it.
Yeah.
So some people can be extremely sinful. Some people can be extremely worldly. Some people can be extremely carnal. So that's why it's important for us. Okay, another passage of scripture is in the book of Hebrews. If you go there with me, and this is in chapter 6 in the book of Hebrews. And... and you see there, where he speaks here in chapter 6, and he says this, leaving the first principles, he talks about the first part of the chapter, but look what he says there in verse number 9. "But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." So here we are, the way that we progress, if we follow on to know the Lord, we come to the knowledge of truth. Thank God for understanding what it is to be born again and be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. Filled with the Holy Ghost, all that. But we go on from there. We start our walk from there, and we go on. And as we go on, we progress, we grow, we develop in the things of God. So as a result, guess what? We're coming to that place as we do it. We begin to learn, and we begin through that process, he begins that work of separation from the time we were baptized in Jesus' name. Separation from sin. From the time we were baptized in Jesus' name. Baptism for the remission of those sins, for the removing of those sins. Separation from sin. So as we progress, that's where, when we talk about holiness, separation. Holiness is simply put, is separation.
Yeah.
So we begin our walk with God, and that's what we're talking about. Let me tell you something. To be a holy people, there is a distinction in being a holy people.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know why? Because you are not defiled. You are not defiled by sin. If you let sin, as Paul said, the motions of sin in our body, if you let sin move in your body, if you let sin influence you and instigate sin in your life, you are defiled.
Yeah.
So because of that, you being defiled, guess what? It's going to basically taint Your understanding.
That's right.
What you know of God is going to affect what God is trying to somehow instruct you in. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why separation is something that's very needful. We need to be separated. We need to be separated from sin, because guess what? Sin has an effect.
Yes.
On human nature.
Amen.
So when it has that effect on human nature, we don't see things.
Yep.
The things of God like we should.
That's right.
That's why people can look at the Word of God and they can say, oh, I don't know about that. Okay? So just kind of laying some just simple things as far as God's Word is concerned. So remember what we're saying. I'm talking to you this morning about the distinction of holiness, the distinction of separation. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So let us cleanse ourselves. Amen. That's something that you and I need to do. Mm-hmm. Now let's back up a chapter. Excuse me. Let's back up a chapter. Chapter 6. Right on verse number 17 there. Look what he says. He says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Does everybody see that? Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now look at the way in the way that scripture is. Look at the stipulation. When we talk about what he said, talking about these, having therefore these promises, look at this promise the Lord gave to us. He said, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So in other words, if we do our part, God will do his part.
Yep.
Amen.
If you obey the word of God and you humble yourself to the word of God and his will, God will do his part. Right. So he said, if we touch not the unclean thing, he said, I will receive you. If you keep yourselves away from sin.
Yep.
Praise God.
Amen.
You know, we're supposed to, as the scripture says in the book of Psalms, eschew evil. Does anybody know what that means? Avoid it, but we're supposed to be turned off at it. We shouldn't be excited about evil or sin. We should be turned off at it. Why? You know what? It's detrimental to our salvation.
That's right.
It's detrimental to our walk. It's the only way we can maintain ourselves, if you and I, amen, like he said, if you and I cleanse ourselves.
Amen.
Praise God. We got to keep our vessels clean. Amen. So, I like what I want to go back and I want to reflect on something here in chapter 6. I want to go back a little bit more. I know we read verse number 17 there, but go back to verse number 14 if you're there. He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Mm-hmm. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Can you see what he's saying there?
Amen.
Yes.
And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Mm-hmm. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Mm. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So you can see, look at the comparison there. Look what he's saying there, as far as he's making that comparison with all these. Amen. And that's what he means. Don't be unequally yoked together. Guess what? We're different.
Yeah.
We're not any better. Yeah. We're different.
Amen.
When we're filled with the Spirit, we're different. And when the Spirit is working in our life, there's a work of sanctification that's taking place. He's sanctifying us. We have not only been washed in the blood, but we are being sanctified by the Spirit. So because of that work of sanctification, amen, there's a change in us. And so we are not like any other people.
Yep.
We're distinct. We're separate. And people see that. When you walk with God, people notice everything about you. Yep. You know, everything about your being.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
Your appearance.
Yep.
Your speech, your conduct, everything about you is noticeable. When you walk with God, guess what? You're not like everybody else.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So there's that distinction. And there's a little part here. I just kind of, I was looking at this, and of course, Paul's really speaking to the people of Corinth because of sin that was in the body. And he was just trying to relate to them that, hey, you know, I'll just put it in modern terms or paraphrase it. Do you really know what you have in the Lord?
Amen.
How many of you really know and understand what you have in the Lord?
Praise God.
Amen. What God has given to you, what He's imparted to you through being born again.
Yep.
Do you know what you really have?
Amen.
Do you know what you can build on? Do you know what you can nurture if you attend to the spiritual things?
Amen.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we lack that.
Yes.
My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge.
Yes.
We lack that understanding. We don't really understand. Praise God. We know what we are because as far as our carnal part of our lives,
yep.
Because we're used to this world. We were born in this world. We're used to it, but a lot of times we're really unfamiliar with the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what we have. We don't know that spiritual inheritance. So because of that, it's kind of something like we hate to even, and I'll say this, we hate to even touch it.
Yep.
We're fearful of it. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to be that extreme. Because people think it's an extreme thing for you to separate your life and not do what everybody else
is
doing.
That's right. Yep. Oh, God.
Oh, man. They're a cult, by the way.
Yep.
Unexplainable. They're a cult. Why? Oh, they don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't cuss, they don't fight, they don't fornicate. They're a cult.
Yeah.
Well, that's the sinful world. That's not the church.
Right. Yep.
So that's the reason why. But here's the thing. You, and it's a sad thing when the church, when the people of God do not really understand what it is, that work that God is trying to do in their lives.
Yeah.
To keep them in that place where they can be undefiled and separate from sin. Is it possible? Oh, yes, it is.
Yep. It is.
Amen.
And, you know, as one person said, oh, you guys are just too holy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Well, guess what? You never can be too holy.
That's right.
Yep.
So I like this. Here's what Paul is saying. Let me break this down. I got a drift of this early this morning. I said, man, here's Paul making an argument, if I want to say it that way. He's trying to relate this to the people at Corinth. And look what he says in verse number 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Man, he's saying, I'm trying to somehow present this to you in a way. Give you everything.
Yeah.
Give you everything God's given to us, the ministers. And our heart is enlarged. So then he says, ye, in verse number 12, ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. In other words, he said, when ye are not straitened in us, we're not the ones that restrict you.
That's right.
No.
Huh?
Amen.
You're the ones that restrict yourselves.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's the problem we have. We restrict ourselves. And what God is trying to do, he's trying to, amen, open up our understanding so where we can receive more of what he has for us.
Amen.
Are you understanding this?
Yep.
Amen.
So he said, you're not restricted in us. That's what that word straight means. You are restricted in your own bowels. It's you. It's you coming to, you know, that point where, and you know what? I believe this. That's what a lot of people's weakness is.
Yep.
I was going to say problem, but yeah, I guess it is a problem. You have that problem to where, man, guess what? And I know this. Everybody feels the Holy Ghost. Yep. Everybody feels conviction when God deals with you. You're just like, what are you going to do?
Yep.
I need to. You need to do something. God puts us on in a place. You need to do something about your salvation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need to do something about where you are yep. right now. You need to. God, he's trying to urge us to make a decision, to do something about the state of being that we are in.
Amen.
And so, and that's what he's saying. But I love that when he talks about that. Amen. But when you think about it, bottom line is, he wants us to be separate.
That's right.
Amen.
A holy people. You go to 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And the Apostle John is talking here. I like the way he says this. And of course, in verse number 1, we'll start with, I guess, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Wow. What an honor.
Amen.
To be called a son of God, a daughter of God.
Amen.
Amen.
What manner of love that the Father has showed us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. You see that?
Yes.
Because it didn't know God, they're not going to know us.
Yes.
You know why? We're different. We're separate. God has called us to this place. So he says, verse number 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now we're the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know what we're going to be like.
Yep.
It's a work in progress right now. A work in progress. We don't know what we're going to be like. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Mm-hmm. For we shall see him as he is. So in other words, guess what? The image or the mold that we are fashioned after is him. We can't really see right now. We can't really understand. But as long as we know he's doing that work in us, as long as we know, if we pay attention to the Spirit of God working in our lives, and as he continues to lead us, and as we can continue to grow in the Word and in prayer,
amen.
Guess what's going to happen? He's going to change us.
Yep.
He's going to change us, and because of his nature, because of who he is, we're going to be changed, and we're going to be changed into that same nature.
Amen. Yes.
So that's when he said, that's why he says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And look what he said. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he's pure. So if that's what you and I are longing for, guess what? We're going to purify ourselves.
Yes.
Amen.
We're going to keep, in other words, let me just put it in simple terms. You're going to keep yourself clean.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Man. Man, tell you what. Get started and seems that time goes by a few times. We used to be that way. We used to be sinful creatures. Amen. But thank God he came into our life, and as like Paul stated in the book of 1 Corinthians, when he said that, and such were some of you.
Yep. Amen.
We used to be that way.
Yep.
We used to be sinful. He said, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So see that work began even way back then. That's what he's saying that. So it began way back then. So here we are, where that process, that separation from sin, that work of being filled with the Holy Ghost, being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Guess what happens? You ever notice that? And I don't mean to cast any shadow upon anybody. But you ever notice that when you start living for God, if you have the real deal.
Yep.
If you have the real baptism of the Holy Ghost, you notice that? You see it right away that the Spirit of God begins to work in, so you become clean and you begin to change and everything about you, your mind,
yep.
your actions, your speech, and even your appearance changes. You ever notice this? So when you can tell when people leave off seeking the Lord because they revert back to what they
yeah.
they go back to that look.
Yep.
Yeah.
They want to get rid of holiness.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they're defiled. Mm. Just a natural reaction. That's what we call relapse. You just relapse back. If you don't know what to be, you're going to be what you used to be.
Yeah. Mm. Right. Yeah.
So that's why people go back to it. They revert back to it because that's all they know. This is the way. That's, you know, that's the thing about it. So that's why we got to be careful. But look what Paul says here in Romans chapter 6. Now, we're still talking about this. Pay attention to what he's saying here in Romans chapter 6. And of course, he talks about what it is. He started out with, shall we say that? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He starts that off in verse number 1, but I want to direct your attention to verse number 18 in the same chapter. So look what he says. He says, being made free from sin. When he's saying that, he's talking about our obedience to being baptized in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Being made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. You see that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Mm. Woo.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something. Here's something that I want you to understand. Because we deal with this every day that we awake. We deal with this.
Yep.
We're still mortal beings.
Yep.
And we deal with this carnal nature. Every day we wake up, it tries to somehow slow you down. We all know that. The carnal nature tries to somehow, amen, overwhelm you and wants you to just submit to what it wants to do. Yep. But here's the part of it. But we're full of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will quicken us and help us to overcome what this wants us to do.
Yep. That's right.
Not to pray.
Yep.
Not to study. Not yep. to read the word. Not yep. to fast. Not to walk in righteousness.
Yes.
Not to be led of the Spirit. Not to be filled with the Spirit. Huh? Mm. And that's yep. what he said. Because of the infirmity. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, because of the weakness that is in your flesh.
Yes.
We all have a weak point in us. You know what that is? It's your flesh.
Yep.
You ever notice that?
Yep.
Jesus rebuked Peter when Peter was trying to stop him and say, hey, Lord, you're not going to go and you're not going to suffer. You're yep. not going to die and all this. But you know what he said? Get thee hence, Satan.
Yep.
Because thou savorest the things that be of men.
Yes.
Not the things of God. You know what he meant by that? He said, Satan, you like to work. Basically, you like to work on the weak areas of men. You savor the things that be. So what does he do? He always tries to work against us through our flesh.
Yeah.
Through our weaknesses.
Yep.
And so because we have those weaknesses, guess what? We're going to have limitations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're only going to be able to go to a certain extent if we allow our carnal nature to govern what we do.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen.
I know this is elementary. I know it is. But there's a reason why the Lord laid it on my heart.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Because God wants us to become spiritual.
Yeah.
Right.
He wants us to become spiritually minded. He yeah. wants us to yeah. be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what Paul said? Filled with the fullness of God.
Yes.
So this is the reason why. So he says that. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Woo! So you see that progression?
Amen.
Do the right thing. Righteousness.
Yep.
Do the right thing. And when you do the right thing, guess what's going to happen? The process, the progress is going to be holiness.
Yep.
Separation.
Yep.
Walking in the Spirit. You're not going to have anything to do with sin. Mm-hmm. You want to keep yourself clean. I had to laugh because when I... Everybody remembers COVID.
Yeah.
Now, I always remember my wife and sent me to the store. So I'll go. I'm not afraid. I'll go. Of course, everybody had to obey with the restrictions they put on. Walking Walmart with a mask and all this kind of stuff. I laughed because I had to stop at the gas station where we put in some gas. And I noticed a guy pumped in gas. He had a mask on. Then he had gloves on. Pumping glass. I had a mask and gloves. I got back from the store. My wife and they, you know what they did? They sprayed me down. Everything I bought in from the store, they had to wipe down with this, you know. Guess what? The world didn't want to get infected with that virus. And I was thinking, why? Boy, they were so keen.
Yeah.
To try to somehow prevent themselves from, you know, contracting COVID. But how come we can't feel that way about sin?
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
How come we can't go to those drastic details of wiping each other down? Go out there. Guess what? You go out there and you touch the world. It's spiritual.
Yeah.
It's not just physical, but it's spiritual. You go out there and you're amongst the world.
Yep.
You can be contaminated.
Yes.
Not just physically, spiritually.
Yeah.
How come we cannot have that safeguard to where we're wiping each other down?
Yeah.
Huh? You know how the Lord does it? The washing of the water by the word.
Yeah.
Amen.
So when you come in here, guess what he does?
Amen.
Yep. Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we don't even think about that.
Yep.
Keeping ourselves clean.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Keeping ourselves unspotted.
Yes.
It's something that, it should be something that is just something that we do because we know, praise God. What he talks about in 1 Peter, let's go there. Let's go to 1 Peter and amen. 1 Peter. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to see what that is. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 15, it says, back up a little bit. Verse number 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Mm-hmm. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. All manner of conduct, be holy.
Yes.
Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. Look what he says. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Be careful. There's that admonition of caution. Be careful. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Be careful.
Yeah.
Don't let yourself fall into that.
Amen.
Hmm?
Yes.
Of what God has called you out. Remember, you're separate.
Yes.
Be separate. And I will receive you. So you see that. And so we're to pass the time. And I like what he says. Verse number 17, if ye call on the Father of lights, who without respect to person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but ye with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we were redeemed with his blood.
Yep.
We because of that, guess what? We were redeemed. We were washed. We were sanctified. We and by his blood.
Amen.
So in other words, in essence, he's saying, keep yourself clean while you're down here in this world. Keep yourself clean.
Amen.
Touch not. Then we go with another admonition of Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look what he says here. First Thessalonians chapter 4, and right around verse number, matter of fact, the first part of the chapter, I think it is. Look what he says here in verse number 3. He says, in First Thessalonians 4, verse number 3, he says, "For this is the will of God." Look what he says, "even your sanctification."
Amen.
It's God's will for you to be sanctified. Guess what? If you're going to be sanctified, you have to be filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
You have to be led of the Spirit.
Amen.
"For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication."
Yes.
"And every one of you," look what he says, "and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." "Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the," amen, "Gentiles which know not God."
Amen.
How many of you can discern between the Spirit and your flesh?
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. You can tell you when your flesh is trying to step in there and usurp its authority. Get all these ungodly thoughts.
Yep.
All these ungodly, you know, the lust and all. You let's try to step in and try to somehow get you down, but you can tell that. But you can tell when the Holy Ghost is leading you on. When the Holy Ghost is giving you insight, information, and leading you on so that you can overcome. You can overcome your flesh. And that's one thing that we got to do. We have to know how to possess our vessel.
Yes.
How to possess our vessel. How to possess it. Hallelujah. Being careful. Now, here's the thing. Scripture verse, and it's not here, but in my notes this morning, but here's the thing. 1 Corinthians 15:33, I think that's where it's at. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
We've got to be careful.
Yep.
Got to be careful what you allow in.
Right.
Yes.
The writer in the book of Psalms, "I will put no wicked thing before mine eyes."
Amen.
I will not look on anything that is wicked, that is sinful. I will not put my gaze upon anything that I do. You know why? Because it affects you.
That's right.
It will lure you. It will draw you. We've got to be careful. We've got to protect ourselves. We've got to know how to possess our vessel in sanctification.
Amen.
So that's why it's really important. Another one, I got another one, 1 John. I know I used this a couple services ago, I think it was, but I'm going to go back to it again. I don't mind doing that, I guess. And 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 12, look what he says. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." I'm writing to you, unto you, because your sins are forgiven you.
Amen.
"I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father." You see that?
Mm-hmm.
No, no, no. What's he talking about? No, no. All of you have known.
Yep.
All of you should know. All of you know. We should all have that basic understanding. We know God.
Yes.
Right.
So because we know God, we know his nature. Guess what? That should place a conviction in us, because we know.
Mm-hmm.
It should be, you know, something that becomes a part of us because we know. So he goes on to say in verse number 14, "I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." Ye are strong. He's trying to help them to see what they have. Because of what you have, because you know God. You notice he started out, you know God. You notice that he started out with, you know God.
Yes.
Everybody knows God. We all say that. I know God. You know God? Oh, yes, I know God. Well, if you know God, this should be what is in you. He says, after he talks about them knowing God, then he says, "I write unto you because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. Do you know you're strong? Because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So when you see what it is that you have, if you know that, he said, you're strong.
Amen.
And the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Guess what? We have victory over the devil.
Yes.
How many of you realize that?
Amen.
We have victory over, when you're in the spirit, you have victory over the devil.
Amen.
I was sharing with Brother Jubal the other day. I said, you know what? The devil cannot touch you.
Yep.
I don't care how hard he tries to touch you. He cannot touch you.
Yep. Right.
The only way he can touch you and the only way he can get away with it is if you fall in sin.
Yep.
And if you fall in sin, he has the license to touch you and afflict you and torment you and do whatever he wants to do to you if you fall in sin. But as long as you're sin free, he cannot touch you.
Yes.
And the only way he can touch you if you're walking right with God, if God gives him permission.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
So why is it we're so afraid of him?
Amen.
Woo.
Wow. Yes.
John is just trying to remind all the young men, all the young women. You're strong, and the word of God abides in you. Do you know what you have?
Yes.
Amen. So I like the way he says that. You have overcome the wicked one. Now here's the part. This goes right along. This follows right along those two verses in verse number 15. Why is it he inserted that there? He's not talking about something different. He says, if you're this, if you know this, and you are this, if the word of God, you're strong, and you know the word of God, he says, then this is what it should be like for you. Love not the world.
Amen.
Neither the things that are in the world.
Yep. Right.
For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So if you are strong, guess what? You shouldn't have to. That shouldn't be an issue with you.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Right.
Woo. I never realized this, but years ago, when we made our move from White River to Lake Andes and then to Wagner, man, I tell you what, when you take that step of obedience and obeying what God is, you know, asking you to do, and it takes a lot. Some of you know that. You couldn't move from your home if your life depended on it. Some of you are so tied to your earthly roots, you couldn't move.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When the Lord starts to deal with us about moving, I remember my dad would say, you better pray about it, son. You want to make sure it's God's will. If you're praying about going that direction, you make sure. I said, hey, Dad, I know this is what he's asking me to do. Okay, I'm just telling you. I realized something back then. I realized something. This world is not my home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
I'm just passing through.
Yep.
Amen.
I'm just passing through. I'm a pilgrim.
Yep.
On a pilgrim's journey.
Yep.
So when I realized that, I said in my mind, okay, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. We made that move. We've made several moves since then. If I had my way, my will, guess what I would be?
Yeah.
But God's called me here.
Yeah.
So because God's called me here, here I am.
Amen.
Because of that. So what are you talking about there? What are you talking about here? Well, I'm simply talking about this. You know, when we talk about knowing what it is. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 31. Look what he says. Paul says this, and they that use this world as not abusing it. We are in the world. What did Jesus say? We are in the world. You are in the world, but the world, you know, you're not part of the world.
Yep.
Can you understand that? You're in the world. We're in the world, but we're not part of the world. How many of you ever realized this? This world is actually not our home. Our real home is somewhere up in the blue.
Yes.
So we're in the world, but guess what? We're not part of the world. Can you understand that? We're not like everybody else, because we belong to a heavenly city and a heavenly country. So our time here is just temporal. We're just passing through. We're just journeying on through this world. So Paul says this, and they that use this world as not abusing it. If you're in this world, don't abuse it.
Yes.
Don't use this world and don't abuse it. Don't get so wrapped up in things that you don't need to be wrapped up in. Guess what? Because guess what? All this is temporal. It's all, and that's what he said. The fashion of this world passeth away. So when you realize what your calling and your purpose is, guess what? All these things aren't going to mean anything to you. Because all you're concerned about is keeping yourself separate.
Yes.
My mind. Last but not least, we'll go there now. We're running out of time, so I might as well. Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. I hope you understand.
Yes.
Amen.
I hope you understand. Verse number 22. Well, back up one verse, 21. I like that verse. I should have included that, but for whatever reason. And look what it says. Verse number 20. If so be that ye have learned or have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus.
Amen.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old behavior, the former behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Yes.
And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, and look what he says, and true holiness. So here we are, if we just allow ourselves, if we're filled with the Spirit, if we're seeking God, if we just allow ourselves, we're going to find out the Holy Ghost is going to do that work in us. It's going to do that work where, you know, the ultimate, the result is this, we're staying free from sin. Holiness is just simply put, separation from sin.
Yep.
You don't want to have anything to do with sin. You're going to keep yourself clean.
Yes.
Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord.
Amen.
Be clean. Keep yourselves clean. Yes. Keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Yes. Walking in the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for your, praise God, your willingness and your patience this morning. We'll take our break now.
Nice.